This audio is brought to you by Muslim Central. Please consider donating to help cover our running costs and future projects by visiting www.muslimcentral.com/donate.
We began with this series 2 weeks ago, introducing it as a series about the revival of the Ummah. And part of it, we break it down into three different areas. Amongst them is the individual self. What are the traits that you need as an individual to succeed from the Islamic perspective, and how does this relate to the overall societal success, the impact that you have as an individual with these characteristics on society, on family, on organizations, and on the ummah in general. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grant us success and victory at the individual, family, and societal level. Allahumma ameen. We began with the topic of sincerity, ikhlas, 2 weeks ago. Last week we covered which topic? Iman. You guys were ready for the question this time. We cover the topic of Iman. What is Iman? The components, the pillars, how to revive it, the blessings of Iman as well. Today we are covering the logical sequence when a person has now the foundation of sincerity and there's belief in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. We define Iman as something that is internal and external. So the internal is the belief and the external affirms or confirms rather what you believe. So there has to be some action. And what action will we begin with other than as-salah, the prayer? Something that the Sahaba would hear about their entire lives and never get bored of it. Something that the scholars would say, we are always in need of being reminded about the quality of salah, the blessings of salah, the virtues of salah. It is the topic that, if you look at the concept of success from the Quranic lens, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gave us the answers to all the questions. It's an open book exam. And with that, one of the defining characteristics of Islam, one of the main traits, in fact, the main physical pillar of Islam, once you believe, once there's shahada, is salah. And sometimes we overlook it because we've heard about it or know how to pray, or we have studied maybe the rulings, the fiqh of prayer. So we move on, and sometimes it becomes robotic. For many Muslims, it becomes just a physical thing. For other Muslims, they may admit and say, listen, I know salah is important, but sometimes I feel like it's a burden. Many Muslims will admit this is how they actually feel. They'll do it. They know it's important. It is correct. You can't abandon it no matter what. But they'll say, I want to enjoy the salah more. And I feel like I used to enjoy it, or maybe sometimes I enjoy it. What can I do? What is it that we can talk about? Let's set the scene by going to the end of the life of the Prophet, sallallahu alayhi wasallam. Every time we hear his blessed name, sallallahu alayhi wasallam. A few days before he died, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam gave advice about many different topics. And you and I know that when someone is at the end of their lives, the advice that they're giving, you don't have much time. So the advice that they're giving is very important advice to pay attention to. And also, it's very important from their perspective. So there's only so much that could be given as advice at the end of his life, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. 23 years of being a prophet, of spreading the message, of reminding the companions, of being kind to the old and the young, men and women. And the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, one of the final pieces of advice he gives, as-salah, as-salah, the prayer, meaning take care of your prayer, take care of your prayer. Why is it so important in Islam? Why is it that we hear about it our entire lives and we sense from the many narrations that it is extremely important in Islam? The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam describes the effect of salah in this life on your situation in the next life. So on the day of judgment, there's a very vivid description of what happens. And this is actually unique to Islam, how much detail we have about the day of judgment. And one of the stations we will all have to go through. Doesn't matter old and young, one station that everyone has to go through. So you have to pass through, you have to be able to walk through with a record. Now, those who died before, for example, the age of accountability, they're not held accountable. But the scholars say the direction that everyone has to walk through is the same. Muslims and non-Muslims, good and bad. وَإِن مِّنْكُمْ إِلَّا وَارِدُهَا. Everyone have to cross over the hellfire as well. The Prophet ﷺ mentions all these stations, and amongst them is the station in which the believers who are given a very light questioning, not the actual accountability where every deed is judged, the light skimming of deeds, حِسَابًا يَسِيرًا in the Qur'an. And Aisha radiallahu anha, she asked about this. Hisaban yasira is not a deep, detailed questioning. For those believers who have a very light skimming of their deeds, like very fast, Very quick. And of course, we don't know exactly what this means, but this is, we leave this with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And one of the things that we do know is that the believers will be asked first about their salah, the prayer, of all the acts of worship. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam at the end of his life is reminding about it. Now, if someone had gaps, shortcomings, sometimes you pray and you're not fully focused. Sometimes you feel like your salah wasn't the best salah. So the nawafil, the voluntary, optional prayers that you pray during the day and throughout the week and throughout the year, these are prayers that are like extra credit that you are in need of. This is not like a class where you can get like, you know, sometimes in school, if you have so much extra credit given out, you have like 140% in the class. You're like, wow, like this is such an easy class. This is the type of extra credit that we are in need of because of how many shortcomings we have in salah. Because of how many times we've slacked off with salah. So when we talk about salah, there are many people who hear the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam saying, arihna biha ya Bilal. Give us comfort by calling to the prayer, O Bilal. Bilal was the muadhin. So give us tranquility through the salah, O Bilal. Start the adhan, in other words. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam therefore saw the prayer as a form of tranquility, as a source of peace. So if we find that we are praying and there's zero peace, there's zero tranquility, that means we might be missing something really important in how we are praying. And I don't mean in the how in the sense of fiqh, like how do I raise my hands? How do I stand? How do I bow down? These are things we have to learn. There's a minimum level of knowledge for all of us to learn. But it's more of like the why. Why is this so amazing, this act of worship, this slila with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? Many Muslims complain of feeling a lack of motivation. They see it as something difficult to feel motivated about salah. And other people say, I feel like I'm doing all my prayers, so I'm in a good place. But they're flying through the salah, and when you ask, they'll say, I don't actually feel like I'm taking anything from salah. Like I'm doing it, ibadah, check it off your list. To-do list, it's done. Obligations, I did them. Internal state was not affected at all. Something is missing. Something very crucial is missing. So the salah, we know, it has its fixed times, the beginning and the end times for every single prayer. And oftentimes, when we receive advice, or somebody sends you a video, or you listen to a lecture, or you read a book about salah, sometimes one of the tricks of shaitan, the devil will come to us and make us think, what? At least I pray. I know someone who doesn't pray. At least I'm praying my five prayers. So-and-so doesn't even pray. Why compare ourselves to someone who is not as practicing externally, as far as we know, externally? Why compare yourself to someone who is not praying? Compare yourself to someone who's praying more. Like, maybe I can be better. So we should always be looking ahead, as the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam taught us. Let's start from the beginning of the Mus'haf. We have the first surah of the Quran as you're reading in terms of the order. The first surah is Surah Al-Fatiha, and then you have Surah Al-Baqarah. In the very beginning of Surah Al-Baqarah, you have the opening verses. And in these opening verses, Alif Lam Mim, Dhalika Al-Kitabu La Rayba Fi, this is the book, there's no doubt regarding it. Look how bold it is. Hudan Lil Muttaqeen, it is a guidance for those who are conscious of Allah, mindful of the rights of Allah. And the very first characteristic mentioned in the next ayah of any verse of the Quran, this is what Allah decided would be at the beginning. This is what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala wanted us to read as soon as we started Surah Al-Baqarah. What is the next ayah? الَّذِينَ يُؤْمِنُونَ بِالْغَيْبِ. The believers, al-muttaqin, hudan lil-muttaqin, who are they? They are those who believe in al-ghayb. We had an entire khutbah here about the topic of al-ghayb, belief in the unseen. It's justified rationally, but it's unseen in terms of the physical, in terms of the empirical. But you know it's there. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala informs you about it, and you have reason, therefore, justification to believe in it. The believers, they believe in the unseen things. This includes the malaika, this includes life after death, this includes qadr as it comes down, your fate, your decree. This includes many things. And right after this, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala tells us what? So, الَّذِينَ يُؤْمِنُونَ بِالْغَيْبِ. And then what? وَيُقِيمُونَ الصَّلَاةِ. The scholars say this is not unintentional. Everything in the Quran is very intentional and precise. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala affirms that the very first physical manifestation of your iman, the very first sign of your taqwa that is external. Now, you believe internal, بِالْغَيْبِ. That very first external deed is that you pray. Your salah. This is a proof of what there is internally. And this is a reminder for us of how crucial it is that to your iman, you will find a link with your salah. With your salah, you will find a link to your iman. Strengthen your iman, you will find that you will strengthen your prayer. Strengthen the quality of your salah, you will notice your iman also increasing. They are intertwined in many different ways. And this is one very practical way for us to improve the state of our prayers. We know the story of how the Prophet ﷺ migrated, والسلام, and when he gets to Medina, one of the first things he says, when the people gather, imagine all these people are gathering, many of them are meeting him for the first time, and there are some non-Muslims in attendance. The very first thing he advises amongst the pieces of advice, and of course there are many statements, the Prophet ﷺ said, Ya ayyuhan nas, afshu salam, O people, O mankind, O humanity, O people, afshu salam. This is the message of Islam summarized in a few components. Spread the greeting of peace. Afshu salam. Wa at'imu at'am. Feed those who are in need of food. Feed others. Wasilu al-arham. Uphold the ties of family. Do not be amongst those who break up families. Do not be amongst those who justify not reaching out, not fixing, not correcting a very difficult relationship. And the Prophet ﷺ said, وَصَلُّوا بِاللَّيْلِ وَالنَّاسُ نِيَامٌ. Pray at night while people are asleep. تَدْخُلُ الْجَنَّةَ بِسَلَامٍ. You will enter paradise in peace. Look at the different components of this primary advice. He enters Medina ﷺ and he only gives four pieces of advice. There's no complicated da'wah here. It's not a complex philosophy. There's nothing intricate that even a child, a Bedouin, a Jew, a Christian could understand what the message of Islam was. In short, spread the greeting of peace, afshu salam, feed those who are in need. So Islam has a huge component of helping other people in society. Islam has the component of upholding the ties of family and relatives. And this is extremely important, especially today when families are broken up. And I don't mean a family, I mean generally as a societal trend, that it's so easy and so common to find estranged family members cutting each other off over very petty things. And I'm not talking about severe situations, but rather the default. And then there's prayer. Prayer between you and Allah when no one is watching. Why? Why this salah in particular is mentioned here? Well, the salah that you're praying in jama'ah, the salah during the daytime, it's important, it's an act of worship. But there's some element of it that sometimes people can witness, can see in you. So the sign of sincerity is that, if you're pushing yourself with sincerity, pray at night when no one is watching. It's you and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And while people are asleep, meaning what? It's not an easy act of worship. You're standing, you're sacrificing sleep for the sake of your Lord. All of these components have, obviously, these are umbrellas. They all have their subtopics, if you will. This is the formula to paradise. The rights of Allah, the rights of the creation, uphold the ties of family. تَدْخُلُ الْجَنَّةَ بِسَلَامٍ. We look at the definition of salah. There are many things to say about it, but just so we understand the word itself, the root of it, comes from multiple connotations, amongst them saliya, which means to burn something. This is one of the meanings the scholars say, the scholars of language. It means to burn something, meaning what? Like a furnace. So salah, as you go through it, you are burning away your sins. You're purifying your heart. You're getting closer to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. You're being sincere as well. So you come out more pure. Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam gave the example with the companions when he said, think of a person, take the example of a person who takes a bath in the running river 5 times a day. Will you find dirt on this person? So if you have soil, dirt, your feet are very dirty from walking, and so on and so forth. If somebody is taking basically a bath or a shower 5 times a day, do you think you're going to find a lot of dirt on this person? They said, no. The Prophet ﷺ said, this is the example of your 5 daily prayers. But it's not purifying here the external. The wudu is, the salah is purifying your internal. The salah is purifying your heart. Even if you don't feel it in the moment, there is a purification process. The other word that's related is sila. The entirety of salah is what? Many times non-Muslims ask us, what is prayer in Islam? Tell us about your prayer. So the word prayer in English can mean many different things. Usually when